Ain't nobody like a
Jack Mangan's deadpan
body, cause
deadpan
body don't stop. Ain't nobody like a
Jack Mangan's deadpan
body, cause
deadpan
body don't stop. Ain't nobody like a
Jack Mangan's deadpan
body don't stop. Ain't nobody like a
Jack Mangan's deadpan
body, cause
deadpan
body don't stop.
But don't stop, don't quit.
This is Jack Mangan. Welcome to Deadpan number 74. Okay, stop that. I am Jack Mangan, a.k.a. the man holding the hairdryer to the iceberg. Welcome to Deadpan number 74. And yeah, big shout out to those of you with birthdays in 1974. And that includes me. Hooray. What? It's Deadpan. So as I said, yes, there is a bunch of content from you guys this week, which is good. And that includes another episode of Really Big Things, and we're getting near the end. I was going to say which is good, but I don't mean it's good that we're getting near the end. I just mean it's good that we have another Really Big Things episode. Yeah. Okay, I have nothing this week that's quite as clever as my throwaway joke from last episode. So I'm going to have to regurgitate and recycle. Here it is again, for those of you who've never heard it before. Apologies to those who've already heard it. In billiards, you put English on the balls to spin them into the corner. In politics, you put spin on the English when your balls are in a corner. Just don't scratch. Yeah, expect to hear that joke every week from now on. Thus endeth the intro babble.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack.
Hello, I am Jack Mangan, the author of Spherical Tomy and host of the Deadpan Podcasts. I am here to announce the winner of a new category, the best variety podcast that no one is listening to. And the winner is Wander Radio. Wander Radio is a unique combination of old-time radio meets modern variety show, with music, audio dramas, humor, and parodies melded together to be the best show almost on your radio dial.
Mr. Wolf. You fell asleep at your desk. Wake up. Mr. Wolf. Wake up.
Oh, man. I had the strangest dream. Would you get me the submissions from WanderRadio.com?
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hey, how's it going? I'm the Poet Fox, and this is the Poet Fox's Essay Corner. Now, I turned in that one essay for Deadpan's The Way Project, and I like to think that it went over really well. Like, I like to think that there was, like, applause that was going on after I read it. So I thought, hey, I write more than one essay. I could record more. And so I did, and I am sending it in. And you can listen. Today's essay is called Switch Me On, Turn Me Out, and I hope you enjoy it. And it's about some sex and a music video. So you might want to go and look up the music video Strict Machine by Gold Frap. That's two P's on the end of Frap before we start. And here I go. Switch Me On, Turn Me Out. If you ever have the chance to go on a cruise, I can't really suggest it. I've been on several with my family, and it's a horrid pattern of several hours of things being interesting, followed by hours and hours of being stuck on a boat with nothing to do. So bored was I the last time I went on one of these, I watched a lot of the on-ship television. We aren't talking cable here. There was a channel of infomercials, a news channel, and a music video channel that was on about an hour loop throughout the entire cruise. I ended up watching a lot of the same music videos over and over again that week, and of all of them, one jumped out at me immediately and garnered my full attention each and every time it came on. It was a video for a song called Strict Machine by a band called Goldfrapp, which I hadn't heard of at the time, and the video was just mesmerizing. The woman, who is the entire band, was singing in this odd red outfit while various trancy visuals ran in the background involving half-naked dog people. I hadn't been paying much attention to the channel when it came on, but the energetic electronica caused me to focus in, and the odd visuals made me give it my full attention the next time it came on. As I watched the lovely lady caressing these puppy boys and singing about her wonderful electric, I could not pull my eyes away. It was completely sexy. Now, I've seen my share of music videos of various female singers who sell on sex and write sexy songs and make sexy music videos to go with it. But these are forced. The whole idea is to grind out song after song to lure in horny people. It's fake. This song was not fake. The music was obviously the basis, the most important part, and it just happened to have these sexy, exciting lyrics and enticing visuals. I hadn't experienced anything like it before. Needless to say, the moment I got off that boat, I ordered her album from Amazon. Pretty well the entire album is like that, and her next album was too. It's great stuff, and I recommend it to anyone who I think might like it, but I find it had a pretty solid effect on me.
This is Brad P. from NJ and the Whole Lot of Nonsense podcast at wholelotofnonsense.org, and...
You're listening to Jack Mangan's Dead Band Podcast. Dead Band is the motherfucking way.
Oh, great. Gave myself the hiccups doing that.
We interrupt this deadpan broadcast to bring you this totally unrelated...
Hi, Jack. It's Jessica, a.k.a. the Leather Clad Mistress of Deadpan. I'm calling to give you the contents of my closet because that's where I am right now, because I'm supposed to be recording an episode of the Cup Car Update. And thankfully, it'll all be recording out by the time Joe hears this, otherwise he'd kick my ass. So, let's see, what do I have? I have my black leather boots, something every girl needs, a couple pairs of high heels and platform shoes, some flats, some suede clothes, my Seventh Son shirt, a couple of sweaters, my suede jacket, a bunch of my husband's clothes, yada, 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 pants, jewelry box. I don't have anything fun in this place anymore. A bunch of NASCAR stuff on the floor here because it never got put away in a box. Oh, look, a picture of me when I was like 12. Holy crap. What else is in here? Ooh, my pretty little red dress. Kid stuff. My collection of spoons because I'm a dork like that. And just a bunch of... Oh, look, my stuff when I attempted to knit. Yeah, that didn't go very well.
Knitting! Knitting! Knitting!
What else do I have in here? Bunch of kids' clothes. So, that's about it. So, I better get back to work so I can get this done and to Joe before the night is over and I want to go to sleep. So, okay. Have fun. Goodbye. Deadpan is a motherfucking way.
You ever get that feeling that you ought to be somewhere holding a boombox over your head? Underneath a window? Or I guess in this day and age, it would be with your iPod cranked and your earbuds held up over your head?
Hey, this is Rayquel, a.k.a. Sistress, from the Tristcast. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Daria is dead, and Deadpan is the fucking way.
My sexuality is weird, and not only for the obvious reasons. I would say that, in general, I am a very asexual person. I have never, to my knowledge, walked past someone on the street and checked them out or otherwise evaluated their sexiness. Sex doesn't happen by accident for me. It's in a very solid little wall off in my head, and I have to turn it on or be in an appropriate setting for it to come out. Settings like looking at pornography or my boyfriend taking my clothes off. In general, I like to think that this works very well. I get to judge everyone I meet as a person, not as a potential sex object, and I also get to have hot sex when the opportunity strikes. However, there are times when it is useful to be sexual, when I normally am not. These are times when I can't be passive, and I want to be seductive and enticing. It's not really something I ever am, though. I'm fairly shy about such things, and don't really see myself as attractive. Being a seductress requires a confidence that you are a sex goddess, and that you are what your potential target craves. Every time I try to be like this, I think of Goldfrapp. The music gets in my head, and I feel that sexual energy, and I go for it. I try to act like I think she would, try to say things as enticing as, "Switch me on. Turn me out. I want to touch you. You're just made for love." I imagine and I act and it works. At least, I haven't gotten any complaints so far. However, it occurs to me potentially odd that I get my entire concept of seduction from a handful of music that I listen to on occasion. It's kind of a silly motivation for developing this sexy in me. Shouldn't these sorts of things be inside me, waiting for me to find? I'm a firm believer that if I just follow my guts and my feelings and act accordingly, I'll find and be the real me. Yet here I am, completely emulating someone else in the bedroom. I suppose the real potential problem is if these are really emotions I'm feeling, or if it's all just an act.
Why, sure! Climb into my
nipple.
My nipple!
Don't ask. So it's time for the greasy spoon comments / greasy spoon nipple / greasy spoon Ernest Borgnine / greasy spoon belly buttons game. Nipples are still the most popular. Go figure. Anyway, this is reading comments off of the comments page. It's a contest, and it seems that the smarty hotties are running away with it, but, you know, we'll find out next episode who the winner is. Keep commenting, though. Maybe you'll overtake them. First nipple of the week. Vanamon says, "Darn, foiled by Thomas and a sneaky eep." Next, Chris Ellipsis, a.k.a. Queen of the Pasties, says, "Good night, Joe - returned home from a very long day at work less than 30 minutes ago. Now the baking can begin, smiley face." Next, Alvi says, "Rock and roll, ellipsis, all capitals, evacuation." Fourth, the Smarty Hotties trademark says, "It's the Poet Fox, yo. Of course we are still doing earbuds. Nope, not gamers, .. sorry. LOL, .. that music is ricoculous. Paul from Des Moines. Fun X28 woot! !! Tweet. Wait, how can you tweet if you were all demolecularized? How the fuck do you spell demolecularized? Stolen from the 90s. Mouse click. And the fifth and final comment of the week. Again, Vanamon says, "Johnette Napolitano. Strange name." And obviously he's referencing the singer to Concrete Blonde. I would have kicked ass on Rock Jeopardy. All right, more greasy stuff to come.
Really Big Things. A Serial. By Paul Mackey. Episode 16. Ripped. Jeremy went to the motel room door. Outside was Chris. "Hey, there's a sports bar over near the Maiden so we can eat after I get my shots." "Great," said Jeremy, and he began to swing the door shut. "Hey, Jeremy."
"Yeah?"
"You sure you want to stay in this room with..." He lowered his voice slightly. "That other guy?" "All these rooms have two beds."
"I'm sure. We'll see you at dinner." Jeremy closed the door before Chris could say anything more. "Okay. So I want to know everything. What am I supposed to do? When am I supposed to do it? Why am I supposed to do it? And what do I need to look out for?"
Jack turned to Eric. "Eric?" But Eric was fast asleep on the bed. Jack sighed. "Kick him in the head, will you?"
"Seems a little extreme." Jeremy trailed off as Jack's foot whooshed through Eric's forehead.
"Yeah, I know," said Jack. "Cheap trick."
"Feel better?"
A little. As you may have guessed, there's no getting him up unless he wants to be up. The whole grumpy bastard thing's wearing thin. The only way he knows how to be. Well, I do it better, so he better stop. Okay. Jack scratched at his ear a second. I can't believe Ivo didn't at least tell you how he started out. He just said I was needed to prevent another Wyckoff. Oh, I see, said Jack, as if that explained absolutely nothing. Well, apparently back in the 70s, Ivo was deep into some sort of theory on how the whole universe works, and he was getting incorrect energy readings that messed up his ideas, whatever. It all adds up that he tracked down an energy field in the basement of a building in Chicago. A library, right? And there's all sorts of elves and dwarves and dragons and stuff. What? No, that's just silly. Where'd you come up with that? No, it was some kind of office building. It came out in a meadow. Sorry. So was this energy anomaly in some kind of mystical closet? No. Would you stop riffing on fantasy tropes and get back to reality here? Fine, go ahead. So, Ivo figured out how to capture the doors and assign them to certain places. The first one he put at the Superdog. Seems he figured a busy public space would be ironically less noticeable. All right. So, what are all you other people in this scheme? Various, really. Ivo has taken it upon himself to manage all the doors, and he has teams that help him out. Eric is from one of the door worlds, and is kept out of phase enough with this world so he can slip about unnoticed. Suzette is just a normal person with some extra abilities to read people. So it's all some big, what, physics experiment? All the talking statues had me thinking some sort of magic. Oh, there's magic. In some places, lots of magic. What exactly is your story? Me? Oh, I'm practically nobody. Jack was interrupted by a knock at the door. Jeremy found Chris once again waiting outside. Hey, the manager says the best food in town's over at the sports bar attached to the bowling alley. I'm starved. You guys want to head over there? Jack looked over at Eric's prone form and shrugged to Jeremy. Seems like a good option to me. Tuesday night was apparently a hopping night at the sports bar. The adjoining bowling alley was filling as league night got up to speed, and the tables were packed. Jack, Jeremy, and Chris opted to sit at the bar. Jeremy picked up the draft menu, and after a quick glance, put it down again.
What'll it be, gentlemen?
1919 all around, said Jeremy. Chris raised his eyebrows at this. 1919? Asked Jack as the bartender walked to a single tap apart from the other poles. Well, said Chris, it's the best root beer in the world out of New Ulm, Minnesota. Only thing about it is you can only get it by the keg. So you get it when you can, said Jeremy with a smile. He picked up his frosted glass and took a long sip, leaving a foam mustache across his lip, which he smacked off with his eyes closed. Ah, heaven. Jack turned to the bartender. What's got this place so busy on a Tuesday?
Ripped, my friend, said the bartender. We don't have a local station carrying it. A lot of folks can get it on a dish, but people like to watch it together.
As the bartender stepped away to fill other orders, Jeremy asked, What's ripped? Some kind of reality show? Have you been under a rock the last 5 years, said Chris. No, wait, you have, or at least the CC Club. Hey, only some of us look like we came out from under a rock. Plus, the jukebox at the CC is worth hours of entertainment. Some manner of vapid game show where telegenic contestants do very little to win large dollar amounts concluded, and the screen went black. When color returned to the screen, a blonde woman was doing pitched battle with some sort of zombie in a warehouse. Jeremy looked away, rolling his eyes. No, wait, said Chris. It really is pretty good. This is just the teaser before the credits. Jeremy turned back to the screen. The warehouse set was mostly empty, with a big industrial cutter of some sort in the middle the two were fighting around. I could write this stuff, Jeremy said exasperatedly. She's gonna get the bad guy on the machine. The zombie got knocked onto the machinery. Then she'll cut off his head and say something like, Don't lose your head. As Jeremy called it, the zombie was decapitated, and the blonde got a nice tight close-up to say, In battle, it's best if you keep your head. Jack and Chris turned to Jeremy for his, I told you so, but he simply set down his frosty mug and stared as the opening credits began to roll.
Yep, people just love to come in and watch Ripped,
said the bartender, sidling back over.
Just what kind of name is Brennan for a chick, though?
It's Gaelic for teardrop, said Jeremy, quietly, his lips barely moving. Then he suddenly blinked as though surprised he had spoken.
Teardrop,
repeated the barkeep.
Huh.
He took their food orders and not too long afterward brought the burgers around. I always wish there could be a little community-type places like this in Minneapolis, said Chris. Then he chuckled a moment later when Jeremy did not respond, apparently transfixed by the TV show. The action on screen was ramping back up to full battle. The blonde was somewhat improbably fighting some sort of zombie king who wielded a sword. With a flying kick, she disarmed the king, and then the next shot was a foot-to-head tilt, the heroine, winded and bloodied, holding the sword at the ready. Jeremy let out a tremendous shriek and bolted from his seat, running out of the bar. What the heck? Said Chris, then he jumped off the stool and followed Jeremy. Jack chewed his last bite of burger, then gulped down the last of the 1919 before dropping a 50 on the bar before the bartender and hurrying out into the night. You've been listening to Really Big Things, a serial by Paul Mackey. Music is Chronodermis by Nanochrist. Find out more at www.nanochrist.com. Send questions or feedback to reallybigthings@gmail.com.
Well, this is kind of exciting, isn't it? Greasy Jelly Bean Game, where you predict how many comments there will be at midnight in the following week on midnight, Wednesday at midnight, the following week after the show releases. Yeah, I fucked up and I'm leaving it. Hilarious. We only had 3 predictions this week. None from Thomas, I don't think. If you did send one in, Thomas, then I apologize, I never got it. But our 3 predictions for the week... We had 399.748, 500, and 603. At the exact moment that I'm recording this, we're somewhere around 490. However, it is not midnight yet, so if there's a big surge, then our 603 could be the winner. Otherwise, it looks like our 500 will be the winner. And you know what? You might not even find out in this episode. You might have to find out tomorrow on the actual website. Sorry, I'm not trying to be a dick, but, you know, if I finish the show before midnight, then the show is finished. And we won't change the rules of the game just because, you know, I got my shit together and did the show early for once. Yeah, so it's anticlimactic. Sorry.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is a motherfucking wee. All rocks destroyed in the making of this bumper deserved it. My father had a face that could stop a clock. I don't mean that he was ugly or anything. It was a phrase the Chrono God used to describe someone who had the power to reduce time to an ultra-slow trickle. Dad had been a colonel in the Chrono God and kept his work very quiet. So quiet, in fact, that we didn't know he had gone rogue at all until his timekeeping buddies raided our house one morning, clutching a cease and eradication order open-dated at both ends and demanding to know where and when he was. And that was from The AFA by Jasper Ford.
Sex is personal. I like it that way. It involves me and I want to be involved in it. If this Goldfrapp character is being invoked, is it her that's involved and not myself? I learn all kinds of things through pure mimicry. I watch gameplay videos for techniques in video games I'm trying to get better at, and I do what they do. I read novels that I like, and I try to apply something that really affected me to what I may be writing. When I don't have an innate knowledge or a strong pull towards one technique or another, I've always gone to somebody who knows better and mimic them. It keeps me from feeling like an idiot, and it saves a lot of time. Hell, I'm sure this is what most people do when learning something new. This specific situation can't really be any different. I thought of the most seductive person I knew, and I tried doing what they did, and it worked. The most important thing, though, is that it makes me feel attractive, too. There's a difference between role-play and full-blown acting in these things. An actor is pretending completely. There's nothing really of them in the acts they are doing. It is, oddly enough, just an act. Someone role-playing in these sorts of situations is acting, to an extent, but it's still them. They're donning a persona because it helps them tap into little bits of themselves and explore them. When I'm really in the moment, I know I do the latter. I'm playing as someone who I think is more attractive, sexier than me, and through that, I'm finding those little hiding bits of myself that are truly attractive and sexy. These feelings are real. I just use those images to give myself a jump start, a little kick in the right direction. There's nothing bad in that. Hell, it's likely a very good thing. I may never be really attractive. I mean, I'm sure I'll be fine in my flat-chested tranny sort of way, but I'm never going to be a sex goddess. People are unlikely to ever pass me on the street and fantasize, and that's okay with me. The fun doesn't happen out there anyway. It happens when I walk into that bedroom with someone I love, and if I ever need to feel a little piece of that outside, well, there's a little song I might just hum to myself.
This is Indiana Jim. Some people have a very crude way of speaking about deadpan. I, for one, am bringing the class to the his house. For deadpan is the way of sexual intercourse with someone's maternal progenitor. Straight up, yo.
Enough is enough!
Alright, so it's outro rabble time. I check my notes. Mouse click. First and foremost, Amy Bowen, your Harry Potter semi-spoilerific Sinkanes will appear in the next episode. I know you've been waiting a while on them, but thank you for your patience. The most interesting thing for me lately is that I read the story Transcendence Express in a recent Escape Pod episode. The story is written by the brilliant Yetzi DeVries, and I encourage you all to go and check it out, and I thank Steve Ely for the chance to do it. It's a lot of fun. And hey, in the Escape Pod forums, Leon Kensington likes me. Woohoo. I also appeared on the recent Winging It 3D. If you check the show notes, I am part of the Chorus of Voices, TM. I told them on that show that deadpan format changes are coming. This is true. And as Chris commented, I often speak too soon and then end up nothing happening. But deadpan format changes are on the way. Some kind of change. I don't fucking know what. It will be for the better. It will be positive changes, I promise. And yes, as Mike asked me about, there will be a Duel of the Fates 3. There will be. I'll make an announcement here. I'll probably put something together for them. And yeah, there will be Duel of the Fates. I can't fucking say it. I've been doing 2 seasons of this shit, and I can't say it. Duel of the Fates 3 is coming. And that's about it. I had some great contributions, and I actually have some contributions left over for next episode, but they're always welcome. You can email them to me, sphericaljackm@gmail.com, or jack@jackmangan.com works again. So don't worry about my Skype address. I mean, you can try that way, but don't worry about it. Or you can send me voicemails, 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. That was linked to a past email problem, but it is all healed and good now. So go ahead and send in your voicemails again. And I've actually prepared a little note intended for the outro babble for the contributors. Dear contributors, if I ever don't write you back in a timely fashion, it's not because I'm ignoring you or too cool to write back and express thanks. I do appreciate your contributions. It's because I'm a lazy, miserable douchebag. So don't take it personally, and please keep the contributions coming. It's what deadpan is all about. Best, Jack, aka Lazy Miserable Douchebag. Well, I think I've had enough. Deadpan number 75 will be next. As always, the deadpan community is just the IV that keeps me going. It's great to have this bunch of people out there who get it, who are all about coming together, sticking together, supporting each other, trading ideas, trading laughs, and generally being excellent to each other. That is the motherfucking way. And I'm not coming back after the music. Peace out. Funny sound clip. No, that's not it. Thank you.
In a land of broken hearts, our love stands in the dark. The fears that are inside, beyond the madness, beyond your cry, way beyond your cry. They push and pull, they seem so dry, yet on and on tears scream. From your eyes, from your eyes. What a love this must be. Such a pain inside of me. What a love this must be. Your temple, your holy place, and all night long, I'm yours to hold. Well, my warm arms steal your cold, yeah. Steal your cold. What a love this must be. Such a pain inside of me. What a love this must be.
Your love sets me free.
You ignorant simp.